Good morning. It is good to be with you and good to see all of you and your smiling faces once again. It's truly good to be together on this Lord's Day, and we're glad that you are here with us and that you are able to join us. And for those of you at home who are unable to be with us in this public setting, we're glad that you're here and glad that you are part of our service as well. And we want to thank you for your words of encouragement and your words of gratitude as we continue through this. I know it is not the most, ideal way to worship, but it is a good way to be able to do it. And we want to thank the elders and Eric for all he's done and being able to get this broadcasted out for over a year now. I want to begin by reading a passage from the Old Testament, Hosea, the 14th chapter, in verse 8. It says, "O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like an evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit." The name Ephraim is fruitfulness. He called Israel the fruitful nation because they were to follow after him. And as long as they followed after God, and as long as they did what God commanded them, he would be there to save them, to guide them, to lead them, to cause them to be, as he would tell those who would be married, be fruitful and multiply. He was going to multiply Israel. He was going to cause them to be fruitful. But Israel decided amongst themselves that also often that they knew better. That I know what's best for me. I understand how this works and I've got this under control. And so let me try my way. And why do I want to try my way? Well, you wouldn't do that ignorantly, so to speak. You wouldn't do it without studying it and examining it first. And so Israel looked at themselves and they looked at the things that they had done and they thought, you know what, I'm doing all right. I'm doing pretty good. As a matter of fact, I'm the best of the best. Israel failed from time to time to recognize why they were the best of the best. Why they were doing pretty good. Why they were becoming so fruitful. They had forgotten the hand that guided them. And perhaps maybe it is the case that some of us as well, we become like Israel. We have a little bit of success and we begin to have some things go our way and we begin to have a few triumphs and we do it all right and I don't really need that help anymore and I've got this under control. Only to be like Israel. To fall flat on our face. Because we failed to recognize what sustained us all along. Progress within Christian life can become very dangerous. And that's why God sometimes does not allow us to experience progress that we had hoped for because He knows us far better than we know ourselves and would know that we would turn it into pride rather than gratitude and thankfulness to Him. We have to always recognize what it is that sustains us. What gives us the ability to be fruitful. What it is that guides us and teaches us and molds us and takes us to where we need to be, and that is the vine. We need to remember that He is the vine and we are the branches. This morning we're going to look at the vine and the branches. And ideally, in the most predominant place we'll be looking at is in John, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 10. We will also mention passages in Colossians and Galatians and several others as well. In John chapter 15 and verse 1, it says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. We see here that there is going to be some branches that produce fruit. There's going to be branches that are fruitless. They don't produce any fruit. We are given here, by the words of Jesus, what happens to these two branches. One branch that does not bear fruit, it is cut away. It is thrown away. It is done away with. It is not needed anymore because it's just in the way. It's in the way. Well, you got that branch that doesn't do anything. It's in the way every time you weed eat, every time you cut grass, every time you play ball in the backyard. You need that branch out of the way. You got to get rid of it. It's serving no purpose. Doesn't provide you shade, doesn't have any fruit. You need to get rid of it. You need to cut it away. So that's what we do, right? But to the tree that bears fruit, to the branch that bears fruit, He prunes, He shapes it, He takes it and does away with the little sucker branches that are sucking everything, all the life out of it, and He gives it more chance to grow, to be more fruitful. Here we are, this branch, and we put out this fruit. That fruit came from my branch. Look at all that fruit my branch put out. Did you see the cluster of grapes that came from my branch? Look at what my branch can do. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." And this is this idea here that these people have made their own minds up, that they know better. Jeremiah 17, verse 5, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places, for the wilderness is an uninhabited salt land." Sometimes you get a lesson together and sometimes you think about the things that are going to be said and you look at all of the things that are being said throughout Scripture and you realize that most of this is about you. I am prone so many times to get my strength, to get my want to from something that will not sustain me. Something that has no strength whatsoever. Something that is easily to fall as it was to come up. And that is oftentimes myself. Even if we look to things of the world and the world values and the world appreciates, we see that too is something that, even though we may in the world's eyes be fruit, is fruit that is going to quickly wither away and be nothing. And even when the devil works, because God does use the devil from time to time, it is used for our own good. And sometimes, maybe like Job, we get things taken away from us. And God allows this to happen to Job so that we can learn and we can trust and we can understand all the more how much God really is in control. I want to have it multiplied and multiplied and multiplied on the backside. It is all done to glorify God. Good is not fame in Christian life. It is not this idea that we want decades of and generations of people, decades and decades later, to talk about us and talk about what a godly person we were or what a good Christian life we lived, or we don't do this just so that we can, you know, have some good stuff to be said about us on the day of our funeral. The good is that we look like Jesus and that we look like Christ, and that we value character. And we value imitating God. And we value imitating the things that are before us. We value, as a branch, being like the vine and producing fruit from the vine. We need to be wary that we do not become like the church in Laodicea. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15, I know your works, for you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich and I have prospered and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched and pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You know, this is the exact idea here of the city in Laodicea, the people that gather and make up the church in Laodicea, that we got it pretty all right. We're doing pretty good. Now, I am rich, I am blessed, I am prospered, I look at everything, I don't need anything, I don't need your help, I've got it made. But failing to realize that you are wretched and pitiful and poor and blind and naked and just totally an outcast from God. I counsel you, in verse 18, to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may be clothed, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those who I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. And as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on His throne. We may go around in our life, and the world may see us from what the world's eyes are. They may see fruit. They may see bounty. They may see the biggest of harvest there has ever been that has come from our branch. But what does God see? Remember, we began in John chapter 15 and verse 1. It says that He is the vine dresser. He is the one that is tending to the vineyard and seeing the things that are really fruitful and the things that are really not. And we have to examine ourselves and understand that we must be about producing fruit that is of value to God, not value to man, not value necessarily even to ourselves. But we must understand that producing the fruit that He values is producing the fruit of the Spirit. It is producing fruit that is like Christ. In verse 4, back to John 15, it says this, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Abide in me. If you'll abide in me, I'll abide in you. I will be in you. I will carry you. I will sustain you. I will give you fruit. I will be the one to guide you and take you along life's path. If you seek out after me, I am the vine, you are the branches. So many times we want to become the vine and decide what we're going to be and who we are. We need to remember our place. We need to understand that we are in the greatest place to be because the branch gets its life from the vine. It becomes what the vine wants it to be, and it produces the thing that the vine wants. When we are severed and taken away from the vine, we can do nothing. We can do nothing on ourselves, even though we may look like the vine. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, it tells us that we were made in the image of God. Now, some of you may have noticed, and some of you may not have, but you all now see that I have here a mini-mile glove. And what that means is this glove has gone with me many miles. This glove has a hole in one of the fingers, but, you know, you just kind of hold that one out of the way. And it doesn't bother you that much. But this glove right here, I'm going to ask you a question. You ready? I want you to think hard. What does this glove look like? What part of the human body does the glove look like? A hand. There we go. Okay. All right. It looks like a hand. Okay. Does everybody agree this looks like a hand? It could be a hand. You know. So it's kind of made in the image of a hand, right? But if we tell this glove that we want that glove to hold up one finger. Okay, hold up one finger. Didn't do anything. So we need to teach the glove. We may even need to be like a coach, you know, on the sideline of a football game and really get into that glove a little bit and tell that glove it can do it. Glove, I know you can do it. You got it. I've seen you do it before. You did it once. You did it twice in practice. You can do it, glove. Hold up one finger. Everybody's depending on you in this moment and in this time. You can do it. Put down four and hold up one. Go. And still didn't do anything. What if we put like 10 gloves around it? And we got 10 gloves around it, and we had all these gloves around it holding up one finger, and we tried, would this glove still do anything? It's not gonna do anything. That was the riskiest part of this whole lesson. But if we put something inside of it, and we say, hand with the glove, hold up one finger, they can do that. We can take this and it can hold this clicker, it can grab this microphone, it can hold this water bottle up, it can do all kinds of things. It can do whatever the hand wants to do. But everybody sees the glove doing it. Whenever we have Christ abiding in us, sometimes, a lot of times, we get a lot of the credit because everybody sees us doing it. When it's really Him abiding in me, it's really Him doing all the work. I can't do anything by myself. And what I could do if I tried to do by myself, it would be of no fruit. We have to understand that we have to have the thing inside of us that really matters, that sustains us, that can carry us, that can move us and mold us and make us into what we ought to be. Oh yeah, we're made in His image. Yeah, we look just like Him. But without Him, we're nothing. But poor and wretched and blind. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Bearing fruit for every good work, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against things there is no law. You have one purpose. The fruit that flows from the life that I will give you is what God tried to tell us. You don't have to try to be a brilliant teacher or some great superhero. You don't have to be Captain America or Superman or Catwoman or anything. You are here to be like God. I didn't make you like the world. I made you like me. And everything that God makes, He makes for His own glory. Why did God make a rose so beautiful? Because He wanted a beautiful rose. And why did He make me and you? Because He wanted me and you. I didn't make things. I didn't make you, God would say, to do things that are too hard to do or bear fruit that you could not bear. God gave us fruit to bear that He knew we were able to bear. And we were able to produce and we were able to do because of why? Because He is the one living in us. We should always understand that God does everything for His own glory. And we may not understand it. We may not get it at the time. And it may not make sense to us. And it may not all connect with everybody around us and what we've got going on in our lives right now. But it is done for His glory, not that of our own. How will we glorify Him no matter our situation, no matter the harsh winter that we're trying to produce fruit in, no matter if it's a drought, no matter if it's an abundance of rain and we're beginning to flood out? How is it that we are going to lean on the vine to produce fruit for God, because we can weather whatever the situation, because He will not overburden us? We will glorify Him in all that we do, because He did it all for us. Verse 6, back to John 15, if anyone does not abide in Me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and they are thrown into the fire and burned. We oftentimes, we think about this branch being cut off and thrown into the fire. And here is the thing. If anyone does not abide in Me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Where was the branch? Well, it was connected to the vine. Having been connected to the vine, what was it part of? It was part of the body of Christ. But what happened? That branch did not produce fruit. It came to church. It did things. It came for a long time. It went through the motions. It did what it was supposed to do. It looked the look. It tried to be what it was trying to be. And it tried to do all of this stuff. And it was just trying to fool everybody. And how do you know that? Because it never produced fruit. It had a chance. It was connected to the vine. It had the same equal opportunity as every other branch that was connected to the vine, but it produced no fruit. The unfortunate thing is, there are going to be people who spend their lives going to church and doing the right things and going through the motions, and in every way and in every appearance of the eye are connected to the vine and look like a branch and they feel like a branch, but at the end of that branch is no fruit. And the saddest and scariest part of it all is that those people, and they very well may be in this building this morning, are going to be cut down and they are going to be thrown away and they are going to be gathered up as they are thrown away and thrown into the fire. And you must look at yourself and you must examine your own life and decide this: is your branch producing fruit or is it fruitless? And is it the fruit that God cares about? Or is it just simply fruit that the world sees? You see, these thrown away branches. In Jude chapter 12 and 13, it says this: these are hidden reefs at your love feast, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds, swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn. They are twice dead. New King James says they are double dead. They are uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. Where are we at? Does this describe us? What happens to the fruitless? Well, he began actually this breath of verses 12 and 13 by telling us what was going to happen to them in verse 11, where he said, "Woe to them, for they walked in the way of the Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion." These are all people that wanted to look like a branch, feel like a branch, have the appearance of being attached to the vine, but were fruitless. They are twice dead. and uprooted. In verse 7 of John 15, it says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." Right now, Lawson and Levi, they like me, and they want me to come. They want me to come look at everything they do. They want me to be everywhere they go. "Daddy, Daddy, come here and look at this. Look at what I did. Daddy, look, you come on. You gotta come outside and look at what I did. Look what I did. Come look at what I did. Come on." "Okay, all right, fine, I'll come." And then you go out there and it's like, I peed right there. I was like, "Oh, that's what I had to come out here for? You did all that to do that? Daddy, come over here and check this out. Come, let's go over here and let's go do this. And Dad, I want you to go with me." And the course of life is this, that will end. That's the way it goes with, that's the way it goes through mankind. They'll not want Daddy to come. They don't want Daddy to go with them. They want to do things on their own. And my kids probably do it more quickly than most, because I aggravate the stew out of them, don't I, Levi? Don't I aggravate you too much? Yep, okay. But we sometimes have that same mindset in our spiritual walk. That when we begin as a Christian and we realize, and we have realized when we become a Christian, that I can't do this on my own. I need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me. And so we ask Daddy every day to help me, teach me how to walk, show me where to go. I want you to see what I've done. Was this good or was this bad? How do I need to do this? Is this fruit the fruit you want? What do you want me to do? How do I need to go about it? And we mimic the same thing in our spiritual life that we do in this earthly life. We quickly just stop asking Dad for help. We begin to just kind of have it figured out on our own, and we forget to abide in Him. We need to be about God, about abiding in Him, so that we can say to Him, we can say things like, I'm Dad, look at what I did. Look at the fruit I'm bearing, Dad. Isn't this what you want? You've given me life. You've given me chance. You've attached me to the vine. Dad, I love you." Jesus says in verse 10 of John 15, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Those who keep the commandments, those who abide in the Father, those are the ones who are attached to the vine, who are producing fruit. Some will claim that they know the vine. Some will claim that they have been part of this vineyard for hundreds of years, and their family was part of this vineyard for centuries, and that everything was great and wonderful because they belong here. But they don't produce fruit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" I don't know who you are, because they will be known by their fruits. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, "Whoever says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Chapter 3, verse 24, for whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Same book, chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. The most important thing that we can do in our lives is to put on Christ, to protect us, to shine for us and through us, and to bring glory unto God. We must always learn to abide in Him as we have learned from Him, and leaning not on our own understanding and leaning not on our own way of doing things, because by ourselves we can do absolutely nothing. This morning, if you are here and you want to put on Christ, if you want to become like Him, don't be deceived by worldly success and use worldly success as your primary motivator, but rather put on the character that is Christ and let your fruit be seen. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation in any way, we want you to come as we stand and as we sing.